God willing, tonight we've come to the conclusion of this sweet masterpiece of Paul's joyous letter, and that's the book of Philippians. And it is Paul's joy letter, brothers and sisters, and you think about the joy as we think about one another. You think about the joy as sometimes we'll write an email, send a letter, make a phone call, whatever it may be, when we're thinking about people that really love the Lord. It makes you feel good. Something about it. Something absolutely incredible about people that really love the Lord. And Brother Paul was writing this joy letter to them, obviously the Holy Spirit, because of the truth and love. Because of truth and love that was alive and abounding in these saints. And a truth and love that was so alive and abounding that they were lovers of the race. The very meaning of their name, lovers of the race. Now, again, think about what we're saying there. Think about what the Lord is saying. Think about what the Holy Spirit is speaking through the name of these people and who they are and what they represent, but the lovers of the race. And anyone who has run this race knows that this is no cakewalk. You think? Come on. It's not a cakewalk. This is a race, brothers and sisters, with stretches of this race are the greatest of heartaches. Miles of it, not just 100-yard pieces, but miles, are so dark that it'll have you even despairing of your own life. And you know these things. But yet, these sweet folks, they loved it. They loved this race. There wasn't anything more valuable. There wasn't anything more precious. There wasn't anything worth the while that could even be compared, even to be spoken in comparison. They loved this race. And the reason they loved this race is because they knew. They knew and they were quickened, and they understood that it was Christ's and the Father's ultimate desire. The ultimate desire was this race to be won, this race to be finished, this race to be finished with joy. Praise the Lord. So we understand this can only be the grace of God. This can only be the grace of God. Now, last week we read in the 19th verse that this is his ultimate of supplying. Think about that. The ultimate of God's supplying we read about. So we can be his exceeding riches is really what that's saying. That we can be his excess riches in glory by Jesus Christ. And I think, oh my Lord, what he sees and what he wants in us. It's truly the offering, brothers and sisters, that we read about in Revelation 3:9 to the church of Philadelphia, where he says, I will make known to them, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Amen? That's quite a company. That's quite an offering. Now you understand why Paul was so absolutely ecstatic. That, praise the Lord, this company of saints loves you like that. They love this race. They see the value. They see what it's all about. They get it. Hallelujah. And the only way, brothers and sisters, we can receive this divine grace that builds and molds his masterpiece is the trying of our faith over and over and over and over. And faith tried, brothers and sisters, God is showing me, it requires events and situations and circumstances that if we were left alone with them, to face them alone, it would grind us to powder. We would be completely done. It would mow us over. He's taking the things that we can't do and bringing us right into them. He's bringing us into the things that maybe we have even prayed in our hearts to say, Lord, do not let this come, and bang, there it is. You know what I'm talking about. Not in a bad way, as Job said, oh, that which I has feared has come upon me. But honestly, the things I said, oh, Lord, if it could pass before me. But God says, oh, no, it must be this way. And God brings these things, brothers and sisters, and in Christ, as we face these, it brings the most holy faith. I appreciated rejoicing about this with a sister, the most holy faith. See, this is faith that can only be apprehended by spirit power love. Love that is so convicting and immense that, yes, Lord, not only do I believe you, but by your grace, I am going to embrace and I will gladly take this gift. You remember the acts of due benevolence between a husband and a wife? That's just laying them on and pouring them on one another. The acts of kindness, the acts of love. Well, this is the greatest act of love that God really gives his children to grow up, and especially Christ, as he gives this to his wife to be, the gift of suffering together with him. Having the same conflict as was in the Apostle Paul. Did you hear that? Do you remember reading that in chapter 1, verse 30? The same conflict. Now, I read about his life. I read about a lot of the things he was tested in. But I believe it's the same broken heart. I believe it's the same contrite spirit. I believe by God's grace, it must be that way. Because it's the Word of God. Now, brothers and sisters, it is awesome that this is truly walking the walk. Grace and glory in action and alive in us. And Paul was so full of joy that it poured out by the Spirit in this wonderful, wonderful letter. So now we're going to go ahead and close this up. And we'll begin reading tonight from verse 20. And he says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." First, notice that word, now. The precious urgency to yield now. Not next week. Not, well, I yielded last month or yesterday. But by his grace, now. Because now is the time that counts. Because now is the time that we have. Because now is the time that Jesus Christ could come. Amen. How about the hour you're thinking not? That's the hour he might come. So I think it's a good time now. And this is exactly what he's saying. Now unto God and our Father. Notice the little words here. And I think it's so wonderful to, and it's not getting nitpicky. It's reading between the lines. Hallelujah. There's a lot of love between the lines. A lot of love in the lines. A lot of love between the lines. But look at how he says this. Unto God and our Father. See, notice it's not just God and the Father or God and Father, but it's God and our Father. See, it's separated as to this manifold comfort, brothers and sisters, and the power of God that is to us. You think about it. He is my God. Yes, he is my God. Thank God he is my God. But he is also my Abba Father. He's my dad. Hallelujah. I'm his son. And I'm so grateful to God that I delight in that and he delights in that. And it's wonderful. I have, as of late, I've continued to just impress upon my sons, especially my eldest one. Son, I just want fellowship with you. That's all I want. I am telling you, it's come to that precious really realization of the thing that I believe a dad really wants with his son, fellowship. I mean, I appreciate the things that he might do and might be and all of that kind of thing, but really that doesn't matter. It's the fellowship, and it's the fellowship in the gospel of Christ. And that's the fellowship that you want to enter in with the family of God, but especially the family of God in your house. You're with them a little bit more. And you want the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. I want a happy home. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And there's a stand there. And there's a fight. And we know this. But how sweet that we can just cut down to it. I just want the fellowship. And this is exactly what this is to God and our Father. My dad, I am your son. He adores me and he nurtures me as his only begotten son. He sees that life. I'm so thankful. He sees the life of his son. Not just a son, but his son. His son. And it's that same son. Isn't that awesome? See, I even think the enemy can think we're some kind of distant son. Well, I have two sons. They may think they're distant sometimes, but they're not distant. They're my son. What do you think? How much more our Father? That's my son. Praise his name. Praise his name. Now, I believe this is the highest of praise, that it is all and will always be all in Jesus. I thank you, God, for that simplicity. I thank you, God, that we have a bended knee and just are grateful. I appreciated somebody that said they just were so delighted at Brother Gene Cook's memorial to hear just thankfulness, whether it was in the family, whether it was in the sermon. Let me tell you something. That's the greatest expression of faith. Thankful. I'm thankful, Lord. Giving thanks in all things is a heart, I'm telling you, that truly has received grace to receive faith. The evidence is thankfulness. Praise God. So how wonderful that evidence can be there. But I give you thanks, Father. Again, thanks to you and you alone. The expression of gratitude, thanksgiving, glory only and always to you for the Lamb of God. That we are your workmanship, that this is your vessel, that everything I am or will ever be is because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the finale. Verse 21 and 22. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, I believe I see a little repeated theme here. Salute, greet, and salute. So I think we should take note, not just in the Word of God, but when he repeats himself in the Word of God, there's something important to get at. And something very important as he's wrapping things up, especially, it's like I don't want you to leave without the best part. I want you to get this by my grace. Don't leave without the simplicity of this most powerful best part. And these words, salute and greet. They mean to receive joyfully and welcome. Did you hear that? Receive joyfully and welcome some saints, the ones that I like to get along with, the ones that go to my church, the ones that have been nice to me. Every saint, all the saints, every brother, do we get it? Brothers and sisters, when we finally fall in love with Jesus Christ, and I am going to emphasize this, when we really finally fall in love with Jesus Christ, we really fall in love with his appearing. We really fall in love with his appearing. And I'm not talking about just his appearing someday when we meet him in the sky. I'm talking about his appearing right now. And you know where his appearing right now is? It's in the saints. And that is right. And I praise the Lord that we see that this is part of loving his appearing. And it's the greatest part of loving his appearing. It's not just loving his appearing when I see him. It's loving him now. And not just loving him afar or loving him in my life, but loving him in the appearing of the saints as we gather. I'm thankful to God that you love the Lord. I'm thankful to God that I see Christ in you. It's not something that you're trying to do. It's not something that you're trying to promote. It's just what it is, the seed that remaineth. It's there. And by God's grace, we want to see that. By God's grace, we fight that good fight to want to see that. This flesh is weak. It wants to look and be distracted at everything else. It's like a child, huh? What? You know, and you're trying to talk to them and they're looking all around? No. Focus. Christ in me. Christ in you. That's our fellowship. That's the gospel of Christ. That's the beauty of what God has given us in this family. This is the beauty that he is telling us about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is encouraging us on by the Spirit to the heights of the love of God. This is the bridal dwelling, the readied wife that loves the head and the body all the same. It loves without dissimulation. There's no hypocrisy in that love. It just loves. And it loves saints. And it loves, praise God, Christ in them. And it manifests itself, brothers and sisters, in genuine care. It's a yearning to fellowship. It's an intense desire to say, I love you. I love Christ in you. And only in Christ can we say that. Only in Christ can we salute all the brethren, every saint. Brothers and sisters, only Christ in me and Christ in you can do this. I've seen it tried by people. I've seen it pushed. I've seen it pushed from pulpits where you shake hands in front and in back and say hello to this one and that. I appreciate, in a sense, the encouragement to try to be kind, but I would rather say, my goodness, didn't they know that they were Christians because their love one for another? Isn't that enough? Isn't that the greatest conviction, the Word of God? Be who you are. Let it go. Let God. Let him do it. Yes, it might take you out of the comfort zone, but that's what God's specialty is. He's got to do that. He made you specifically certain ways to show you that that wasn't the way that you're going to get to him. It's going to be a way of transformation. It's going to be a way of renewing of your mind. Come on. Praise the Lord. Do we believe him or not? But brothers and sisters, I want to make the point here. This is not fellowship that he's talking about here. This is not fellowship. Sometimes with brethren, there is not much fellowship. Sometimes with brethren, there is no fellowship. But I'm going to say something here, what he's telling you in this word. But there is always a saluting. There is always a saluting in them that love his appearing. Always. So many times I've seen brethren try to hide behind different things. But there is always a welcome to embrace an open arm. There's always virtue, brothers and sisters, that God wants pouring out of us to truly touch and greet every saint. Extending the right hand of fellowship is vital. It's a vital thing. It's the evidence, brothers and sisters, of the love of God. It's the right hand of fellowship. And the right hand, believe it or not, is Jesus Christ. He's at the right hand of God. Again, many times I've seen brethren try to hide behind the scripture of 1 Corinthians 5. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says not to sup with a brother who continues defiling himself. So I want us to think about that, because I've seen then, well, that's great. Then I'm not going to touch them. I'm not going to speak to them. I'm not even going to acknowledge them. I'm going to go ahead and cut them off. I'm going to cast them off. I'm going to always think about their failure every time I see them, even after they're dead. Did I say that? Okay. I guess there was a reason. Now, what does the Word of God say? What does it say? Did Jesus not say to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Or how about the harlot that was washing his feet with her tears? As the Pharisee said, look it, he's gone to sup with a sinner. And, you know, Jesus heard that. And he says to him, well, it's interesting. I come in here and you didn't even give me a pan of water to wash my feet. But from the moment I sat down here, this sweet lady hasn't ceased from kissing my feet, washing them with her tears, and drying them with her hair. Who loved him? who loved him. And brothers and sisters, I'm talking to us. I'm talking to this little body here. Love. There are times in my life I was very hurt and I didn't want to salute or greet. And that hurt me and it hurt that brother. And I can try to justify it. I can try to say, well, I would have said the wrong thing or I would have done this. No, by God's grace, let the love of God allow you to salute and greet every saint. It's vital. It's vital for the body. It's a healing, brothers and sisters. It's the spiritual one who restores. See, I don't care what a brother or sister has done. There's never an excuse not to greet them. There isn't. There isn't. I want a heart that would expect a healing for fellowship to be restored. And I really have found this, and I'm thankful to the Lord that I've seen it happen in my life. I can testify of God's grace because I know the flesh that didn't want to do it. But I'm thankful for the love of God that convicted and there wasn't any getting around it. It had to come. And I thank the Lord that just in a hello or a loving embrace or a sincerity, I'm talking only sincerity here, it's good to see you. I've seen the Lord use that to break ice. I've seen the Lord use that as that was the bottle of salve that was just broken out. I've seen the Lord use that as so immediate of a healing and a restoration of fellowship. See, a lot of people stop reading at that 1 Corinthians 5, and I encourage you to read on through because the whole thing was about the restoration. The whole thing was to restore that brother, to pray, to always show yourself kind and friendly, and to pray that God restore this. There's a hurt. There's an ache. As the brother was saying, how do we fulfill the law of Christ? To bear one another's burdens. That's love. That's love. That's when our brothers and sisters are taken in a fault and it's hurtful. You don't want them to stay there. By God's grace, you want to bring the cold cup of water. By God's grace, you want to say, Christ Jesus loves you. That's not who you are. I understand that. That's just the enemy's lies. Now get on up. It's time to run. There's nothing better. That's reality. That's reality. Because that's how God sees it. That's reality. Everything else is a lie. When you want to keep people in that place, when you want to stay in that place of, well, I'm not talking to them and I'm going to hate them for the rest of my life, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not who Christ is in us. And God help us to wake up out of that nightmare, because it is a nightmare. Huh? And isn't it wonderful when you're having one of them bad nightmares to wake up? Amen, it is. Yeah. And that's as simple as it is. Wake up. Wake up. Praise the Lord. Now, notice here, I think it even gets better. Well, the Lord always does that. It says, the household of Caesar. Now, this is really neat stuff. Paul was probably in Rome about 6 years. Don't know exactly, but somewhere in there. Prisoner in a strong house, you know, whatever. But in that time, God used him to reach many lives. We have a few minutes. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 28. Acts 28, just read 30 and 31. This is when he's in Rome there. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. There's a lot of sweet things going on. So this could have been a time that he reached many in Caesar's household. And you think about it, maybe, and I've heard a lot of people say this and agreed, might have been the cooks, the maids, the gardeners, some of the servants, whatever it might have been. You can't imagine how the Lord strummed across some of these hearts that God had hear Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. I don't know if many of you have studied history, watched some of those shows. This was a very wicked time. And when you're talking about Caesar's household, it didn't get any more wicked than that. It was like the wicked of wicked. I mean, we're talking Washington wicked. I mean, something like that. The evil of man waxes worse and worse. You better know this. Come on. I don't care. Oh, I better stop. I'll get myself in trouble. All right. I just love to listen to God's word. I'm thankful he has this there. But they loved Paul's gospel. They received it, you think about here, in such an extent that Paul makes note of them, and he says, especially them of the household of Caesar. Chiefly, the word is here. That means above all. And as you read that, you think, man, these saints really love the Lord. They loved the Lord. They loved how these saints, these Philippian saints, loved Jesus. They were so thankful that these brothers and sisters, these Philippian saints, were lovers of the race. I mean, this is some great stuff because you're seeing that God wasn't a respecter of location here. He was reaching those that he knew that had a heart for the word of God, just like he does today. We don't need to get bent out of shape about, well, we need to go here and we need to go there. God goes everywhere. Praise the Lord, he does. Yes, he does. And he's faithful to that heart. As the word of God so simply tells us, he that wills to know, they're going to know of his will. They're going to know that word. And praise the Lord, after you know the word, if you be otherwise minded, he'll even reveal, he'll make known that unto you. That's how faithful he is to the heart that he knows that you have. We're his workmanship. I'm thankful to God. Lord, open my heart. You've got to do it. Let me just be still. Let me receive it. Let me just take it in. And let me trust you as you bring forth and exercise all that experience of what you're putting in my life. Now, how much they loved them was so precious that you see here. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that we experience this same thing here too. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about when you think about Brother Hines and some of his saints out there with him? How about Brother Hawkins and the group out there? How about Brother Sadbury? How about many of the brothers and sisters from all throughout, really the world, different ones that have come in here that we know that fellowship in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' gospel? You thrill for them. You're thankful for them. You rejoice. I'm telling you, when I get little letters and emails from people all over the world, I read this sermon, blah, 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 I'm Swedish or whatever, and it's like a little translator or something. It doesn't make sense in a sense, but you can see what it really does because God makes it make sense. I love the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to marry him. I see that message. Thanks be to God for those saints at Living Waters that hear and preach and rejoice in that Paul's gospel. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the letter that we just got from Brother Kenneth and those that are out there in that prison, I'm telling you, it is absolutely precious. They're there too. Praise the Lord. Who knows when that trump will sound? They'll be looking for a lot of them. Be kind of funny. Now, you think again, as I mentioned earlier, this was the time of Caesar. And this Caesar happened to be Nero. And Nero, if you lined up all of the Caesars, he might have been the chief of the wicked. Vile. Horribly. Lasciviousness that was going on there. Everything you could ever imagine sexually wrong. I mean, he even had a 12-year-old young male that was, I don't even know what you'd call it, it's just ick. But it was acceptable. Or at least they tolerated it, and that was his deal. It was a wrong time. It was a wrong mind. But God had put that man there. And he did. And he placed him there. But listen to what it says, especially, chiefly them of the household of Caesar. Now, they had a lot of opportunity to enter into a lot of things, didn't they? Just like a Joseph probably did. Just like Moses could have partaken of. But you know what? He wanted to go suffer with the afflictions with the people of God. There was something that held him. There was something that held Joseph that even when that woman came after him and said, you know, it's going to be all right. You just do what I say and I'll even favor you. You'll even get more. And he said, oh, no, God don't want me to go there. He don't want me to do that. Well, you know you're going to suffer. Well, I know I'm going to suffer, but didn't you hear me? God don't want me to go that way. And that's okay. Because he really learned, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. This is neat stuff. This is our life. This isn't just a past story. This isn't just something that happened way long ago for this person or that. This is happening to us, and a better thing. Wake up. A better thing. Even on Wednesday nights, we can be attentive. Praise the Lord. Thank God we're here. Quicken us, Lord, to receive it. Hallelujah. But think here. Under this wicked guy, there were ones that were coming after the things of God. Maybe even some of the highest loving saints of all time. And I have to tell you, it thrills my heart how God does this. He does completely opposite what we think. We think we need hothouses, and he'll show you, he'll raise them up right in Babylon. He'll take them right out of the sin of sin, and phew, there's my jewel. There's the one, there's the goodly pearl I was looking for right among all them thorns. Boom, got him. Hallelujah. We need to trust God more, don't we? Come on. But think about this. And it may have not only been limited to the slaves and the workers. I don't know if you've heard about the writings of Josephus. They believe that that might be some of the only documented, as they say, historical, even though if you know about history and about writings and about transcribing and all of that, the Bible is the greatest historical instrument that there is. It's not even to be compared. But let's go ahead and say, okay, well, I can't set it aside. I don't even know what to say. But we'll just kind of go on and say. But Josephus, to a lot of the cerebrals, is truly an historical text. It was a writer of history. So they do take that as fact. Well, Josephus' fact did speak of Jesus. And thank the Lord. Not that we needed it. But God knows what we need anyway, so praise the Lord. But in Josephus, it also writes of an empress. Her name was Poppaea, and she happened to be Nero's own wife. And it says of her that she was a worshiper of the one true God. Hallelujah. I mean, this was his own wife. I really love this. I just think it's, again, so absolutely incredibly awesome that she had to live among that putrid, that disgrace, that demented dysfunction. And yet, I'm confident that the Lord maybe even used that to say, honey, you want that or you want me? And praise the Lord, you don't know how maybe, again, just kind of thinking, that she may have been used as an avenue for a lot of slaves and a lot of servants to go freely and to hear Paul and to understand some of this word. And you never know how the Lord may have used that sister for the things of forever. I think that's sweet stuff. I love how he brings things together. I love how God is not a respecter of person. I'm thankful to the Lord. He said, not many mighty, not many wise, that it wasn't not any. I'm thankful and I praise his name that this appears to be a very sweet sister who did many things enabled by the grace of God. But finally, we come to verse 23, and we'll wrap it up. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's it. That's exactly what it is. The key to it all, the power to every breath, grace. Grace. Lord, have it on our lips all the time. Lord, I need more. You're ready to pour it out. I know it's sufficient. I need more. But as we've read tonight and as we've been studying and as the Lord has shown us over and over, the way He's going to bring more grace is going to be through the suffering. Because you wouldn't know how much you really needed until you got into the places that you know you can't get out of or you can't get up from. And that is the absolute truth. It is all coming together so clearly for us, brothers and sisters. Grace is what makes everything fertile. Grace is what makes everything grow. It's what takes Romans 8:28, brothers and sisters, and it springs up like a fountain everywhere we turn. Everything we come up against, Romans 8:28. Lord Jesus, I know I can rest now. I can absolutely have confidence right now and give glory to God the Father in Jesus Christ right now because I know all things. I know all things are working together for my good because I love you. I love you. And I know loving you is called according to your purpose. I know it is. Hallelujah. I know that's what I'm called to. I know that's the purpose of God is for us to love Him and to love Him with all of our soul and praise God, our heart, our might, our everything that we have. Praise God. That's called according to His purpose. That's got to be the grace of God. And as I believe this really pertains to, brothers and sisters, is His grace gives us a gracious spirit. His grace gives us a gracious spirit. We see souls, and especially seeing the souls of the brethren. Seeing souls that need to be saved, absolutely. You know that people need, again, the Lord. But then you know God's precious people need to grow up. And then you know that God's precious people that have heard and received the gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus need to be stirred up. They need to be reminded to take heed over and over. And the much the more, that, and especially lest we let these things slip. We're weak. We have to understand we are very weak. Our flesh is extremely weak. We are so quick to forget and to fret and so quick to unbelief, brothers and sisters, that we need to give the more earnest heed to these things. It doesn't matter how long we've been here. It doesn't matter how many times we've heard it. What matters is now. Now do I see the urgency that I need to be reminded of this and not reminded that, you know, as a mesmerizing thing, but reminded as a quickening thing that it plays that song upon my heart that I thank you, Jesus. I look up. I understand it's your grace and I need more of it all the time. I want that fire stoked. But we see the souls of brethren when we have a gracious spirit and we see them as they are seated in the heavens in Christ. Now that really is an overcoming sight, isn't it? What do you think? If I stayed down and low on you, I'm sure not seeing you seated in the heavens in Christ, am I? Kind of takes care of everything, doesn't it? You talk about overcoming. He overcame everything and shot right up on high. And we're seated there with Him. Every child of God is seated there with Him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, I think when we see people like that, we realize that they're very special. We understand that they're beyond precious. We understand that they're valuable to God. And then we begin to see that they're His sons. And then we begin to understand we need to greet them as such. Prefer one another. Amen? Amen. God help us. I want to win. I want you to win. I want us to win. And it's a love win. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we can give this over to God. Brother Hill used to remind us many times, we cannot take our place in the heavens right now without really being gracious. And the definition of gracious is full of grace. And remember to be reminded of what grace is, even though you could never explain it. And it's going to be in the ages to come the exceeding riches of His grace. But if we just touch upon it, what it is, remember, it's unmerited love. It's unmerited favor. It's unmerited mercy. And it's truly seeing things as God Himself. And that's it. That is it. That's what grace is. So when our fellowship departs from the vision that God has for us, and by the way, that's His word, then we've just departed from that grace, that graceful vision. Now, that grace always holds me, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about fellowship now. I'm talking about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace. Amen? Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, we have good hope through grace. Ain't it true? Amen. And it's our only hope. And then as we close this out, maybe no place better said in the Word, giving us the knowledge and understanding of every bit of it where we need to abide in order to grow to its very fullest in Him that we could ever be. And that's in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I pray that this Philippian study has encouraged you richly. I can't tell you what it's meant to my heart and my life. I can't tell you the treasure of another glory. And it has been. And even so, Lord, come. Just come. Let's stand and be dismissed.